Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Varsity Breakdown Podcast. This is episode 56, the week 7 recap, as we're going to dive into some more high school football around Pinal County. And there were some big scores going on over the weekend, some surprising matchups, and as well as some results that have a lot of implications when it comes to standings and region play. But before we dive into that, I know there was a topic you wanted to kick things off with regarding our broadcasting, kind of going forward for the rest of this year and into the start of next year as well.
Yeah, one thing that we kind of wanted to touch on, or at least I wanted to, was kind of apologize to the teams. We had to delay the release and put up a recording after the game. And for those people that waited in the lobby, especially those who couldn't make it to the game and their only option was to use our live stream, I apologize. But one of the major factors that we've learned since doing this is for these schools, internet connectivity is so crucial. Like, if I'm being honest, the schools that we had the most flawless streams were the schools that were able to give us Ethernet connectivity. Every time when we try to use a hotspot, and especially when the weather was inclement and we had to deal with storms in the beginning of the season, it really took a toll on our Wi-Fi and our signals. And especially in that it wasn't the first game, but it was the first game here in Southern Arizona where we were at Pueblo, where it didn't work. And we go back to where we were at Vista not too long ago, and we had internet connectivity issues there. So again, we apologize that we have these technical difficulties. Moving forward, we will correct these issues and try to better equip ourselves so that way we don't have to necessarily rely on these schools or their IT. One thing I want to do is give a huge shout out to ALA Ironwood and their athletic director, Ryan McCurdy, who assigned us an IT person to assist us with connecting in their press box. And I want to say a huge thank you to them for that, because that went a long way in helping us have a flawless stream. I think one thing that I've learned from that stream too, especially looking at the halftime, is we got to do a little bit better on the lighting, because you and I are really hard to see when that lighting is not good.
Most definitely. And that'll come with time, you know. But to kind of piggyback off of what you said, going forward, you know, it is going to be unfortunate. As much as we want to cover as many schools as we can in the Pinal County area and, you know, with Chris Kidney in Southern Arizona, one of the big things is if a school doesn't have adequate Wi-Fi, it's going to be really hard for us to really do anything. You know, I know we've tried to do our portable Wi-Fis, and it just sometimes, you know, with that being a cell phone service type of thing, you with, you know, Verizon, me with T-Mobile, sometimes you're not going to hit those spots, or you're going to hit those dead zones in those specific cities. And it just kind of is a bummer for us, because we go there with every intention to try to provide the best content that we can for each and every game. And, you know, just even across the street at Mountain View High School from my house, I knew for a fact that the portable Wi-Fi wasn't going to work, because I barely even get phone service through that school. And so, you know, going forward, that's going to be one of our big deciding factors on which games we can do and which games we will do, because with an Ethernet cable or having, you know, a good Wi-Fi source from the school, it makes things a lot easier for us instead of having to risk the chances of using a portable source and then it not panning out in the end.
And a lot of those times, those portable Wi-Fi devices don't necessarily have the bandwidth capable of handling every bit of equipment that we have attached to it to make the stream go without lag or latency. And I know that we're getting really into like the deep waters of what we do, but again, we're going to get to the bottom of these issues, and moving forward into baseball, we're hoping that it's a seamless transition. Mm-hmm. The one thing that we do got to look forward to is ultimately the absence of Chris, because he's going to be continuing his football coverage here in Southern Arizona while we focus on baseball in Pinal County. And as I say that, let's start talking about what we got going on this past week. in Pinal County football. So the first matchup we want to discuss is in the 2A conference. The ALA Anthem South Titans played the Pima Rough Riders in a game where they were blown out 62-0. When you see the score, what do you think?
It's just, you know, Pima is one of the toughest teams in 2A. We speak on that every week because we see some of our 2A teams play the Rough Riders. And for me, I think Pima right now is in the wrong region when it comes to 2A. And they play teams, I mean, like St. John, St. Carlos, ALA Anthem South, which are programs that are not ready to play a caliber team of Pima. But that's just sometimes what you get dealt being in that 2A black region, is that you have a team like Pima there, and all those teams in that region are going to have to eventually face them. But I think Pima is one of those teams that is on their way up to possibly moving into 3A, or if not, maybe moving into a different region that's a little bit more competitive, kind of like the 2A Salt region. But if you look at it, it wasn't that Pima did a lot offensively. I mean, they passed for 85 yards and rushed for 165. You know, all their touchdowns mostly coming on the ground besides one through the air. But I think if you look at it, I know we don't have the stats for ALA Anthem South, but it was probably a lot of turnovers or a lot of maybe three and outs where field position was a key throughout that game.
And do you think that just comes with the inexperience with ALA Anthem South? I know you touched on Pima being a powerhouse in the 2A, and if I'm not mistaken, they were last year's 2A state champions. So for them to take this type of beating from a former 2A state champion, it's not unheard of. But again, you just feel for the Titans because they are dealt this difficult deck. And the Pima Rough Riders were just another spur in their side, so to speak, because it's not going to get any easier for them here on out.
Well, I would maybe think that this upcoming week, it will be a very good competitive matchup, this week at least alone. But you know what? I think ALA Anthem South is in the right region. It's just those non-region games are kind of, you're seeing the difference in level of play. And of course, having Pima in that region, the scores are going to look like that throughout the remainder of the Rough Rider schedule. Because if you look at it, they beat Safford, Scottsdale Christian Academy, who are both 3A teams. They beat Morenci, who's a 3A team. And then after that, once they started kind of getting into their region matchups, nobody scored on them in that region yet. And so, like, that is the difference between how good of a team Pima is compared to the rest of the pack in that 2A black region.
One thing that I was just thinking about is, this seems to be the thing that the AAA does with new coming teams, because we talked about it with Desert Sunrise and Chrisman in the same manner, that they kind of throw them in the deep waters and try to see if they sink or swim. And a lot of these teams kind of struggle in that initial year, but you like to see that competitive spirit, because there were a lot of times, especially in the beginning of that ALA game that we'll talk about later, where Chrisman kept it competitive, and it looked like it was going to be a long game for the Warriors, but they were able to pull it out. We'll touch on that later.
So after that matchup, ALA Anthem South falls to 0-7 on the year, while Pima continues their undefeated streak at 6-0. But let's touch on our other 2A matchup, which was the Santa Cruz Dust Devils heading down to Heritage Academy to take on the Heroes. And that one turned out to be a very good matchup. And that one turned out to be a close matchup, especially in the first half. And then in the second half, Santa Cruz was able to pull away, winning 32-14 and improving their record to 5-1, while Heritage Academy falls to 3-3. So what did you like about Santa Cruz from Friday night's matchup?
Their ability to persevere. We saw that they were behind a little bit in the first half and that it could have been a game that went either way. but seeing how they were able to pull away in the third quarter and get away from a team that we looked at as a big challenge for them, and at the end of the game, make it look easy. And another thing, for both teams, it wasn't necessarily a home game for either team because they were both playing at Arizona Lutheran Academy's field. So nonetheless, a big win for the Dust Devils, and it's going to be really interesting to see what they do if they are actually able to win this region now without Sequoia Pathway in that region to hold them up. They'll actually have a forfeit win over that and probably have their biggest test of the region dominance in this week's matchup.
And if you look at some of their stats, Nathan Harris, another outstanding game, passing for 205 yards and 4 touchdowns. And the thing you like to see is a big zero in interception category. And also Aiden Isagiri, another 100-yard game from him on the ground, rushing for 103 yards and 1 touchdown. But I think the biggest thing right here is the passing attack for Santa Cruz has been on fire not only this week but in previous weeks, and that's the type of thing that you want going into a big matchup this coming week.
Yeah, that's definitely what you want. When you look at Nathan Harris, he is definitely evolving into the prototype quarterback for the Dust Devils, and that's exactly what Coach Tommy Cortez was looking at last year when he took over this team and he had him take over the quarterback position. So all that hard work and the changing that we were kind of unsure of in the beginning of Coach Tommy Cortez's tenure is actually paying off now. And if I'm not mistaken, we might as well be looking at the 2A state champions right now. But that's just my opinion.
Well, let's see how they seem to prove themselves. They have two more big matchups in their region alone. But one thing that kind of I still have circled around is this is the second consecutive game that Jonathan Ramos has missed, and this team is still excelling. So I know once he's able to get back in that lineup, it's going to only make this offense even more dangerous. But before we move on into our next division, let's see where these teams currently rank in the 2A. You have Santa Cruz sitting at number 9 in the AIA's 2A divisional rankings, while ALA Anthem South sits at 42. So seeing Santa Cruz at 9, do you like that, or do you think that they possibly can climb the ranks a little bit?
I definitely think that they can climb the ranks a little bit more. There's a lot of teams above them that are performing better than usual. The one thing that kind of bothers me is seeing Pima at number 1. I could actually see them being a number 2 based on their strength of schedule, but again, that's just my opinion. I totally feel that Santa Cruz definitely needs to be in the top 8 because this is a team that I want to see that has home field advantage throughout the playoffs while they're in there. If they don't win their region, which is something that is most likely to happen, I think that that's the only thing that could throw off the Dust Devils' plans at a postseason.
And speaking of regions, let's take a look at this 2A Salt region, which has Santa Cruz at 3-0. Santan Charter at 2-0, Chandler Prep at 2-1, Arte Prep at 2-2, Heritage Academy at 1-1, and Sequoia Pathway and NFL Yet at 0-3. So Santa Cruz already has a little bit of an edge going into this week, and why it's so important to win these games and get that automatic bid to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about the 1A and 2A divisions, that the region winners get an automatic bid into the playoffs. It's kind of a good thing that that was done away with the 3A conference as well, because I felt like the past couple years, especially the first year we started, it murked up everything as far as where we felt the teams should have been in the playoffs compared to where the AIA placed them because of these ranking rules. But let's roll on into the 4A conference and talk about the match between the Eastmark Firebirds and the Poston Butte Broncos. This game ended 41-8 in favor of Eastmark, bringing the Firebirds to 4-2 on the season and dropping Poston Butte to 3-3. This is a team that's sitting at .500 right now on the season. definitely not where I expected them to be when we were doing our preseason predictions. What do you think is the cause of the struggles right now for the Broncos? We knew that Eastmark was going to be a tough challenge for them either way, because we've seen how they just completely dismantled the broken down Combs Coyotes in just one half alone. So with the knowledge that we had from that game and seeing what we were able to see out of Poston Butte playing, especially a tough team in Micah Mountain, what do you think ultimately led to this demise?
Well, being that Poston Butte is a team that live and dies by the run, they only racked up 130 yards on the ground, and that's just not going to cut it against a team like Eastmark. So it basically told me that Eastmark's defense was shutting down the offense of Poston Butte, or at least what is their main factor of moving the ball. And then on top of it, Mason Lloyd only completed 2 out of his 7 passes, and 2 of those passes went for interceptions. So those are the things that you can't have add up, especially when you're playing a team like Eastmark, who is a playoff contender, who will probably make the playoffs this year in 4A. But I think ultimately those are the things that kind of hurt a team like Poston Butte, who is more one-dimensional when it comes to their offensive attack.
Because it doesn't really get any easier for them. Let's hope that this skid doesn't continue, because tonight they have a long trip ahead of them as they head up to the Sholo Snowflake area to play the Snowflake Lobos.
Well, let's dive into another 4A matchup, which featured the Combs Coyotes taking on the Mesquite Wildcats. And the Wildcats ended up taking that game, winning 32-0. But if you look at it, they were only leading 6-0 at halftime.
Yeah, something happened at halftime. Something was said that changed the momentum and brought the Wildcats back to life to the point where they were able to score at least 3 touchdowns in the third quarter and then just coast off of that into the fourth quarter. Again, it's just really unfortunate that the Combs Coyotes are just so depleted right now with injuries. Injuries have been something that we've unfortunately had to deal with throughout this entire season in Pinal County, it seems. If you look at teams like Santan Foothills, they've been struggling this year because of their inability to keep their players healthy. And that's nothing against their training staff or anything like that. It's these hard hits and stuff like that unfortunately give these kids the concussions that sideline them. And then there's other injuries like David Robiloff's knee. It sucks, but it's a part of the game. And right now, that's what's hurting a lot of Pinal County teams and other teams, I'm sure, as well.
And for Mesquite, I mean, they were a team that got a lot of their yards through the air, passing for 294 yards and 4 touchdowns. But if you can see, the quarterback threw 2 interceptions. So it meant that Combs was still putting up a fight. Maybe these occurred in the first half. Now I think the next thing that they have to work on is getting that offense going, because they've had a couple of shutouts this year where they weren't able to punch the ball into the end zone. And I'm just hoping moving forward they can get some of those small victories and put some points on the board and maybe even sneak out a win or two. I know with them being in the 4A Desert Sky, it's pretty competitive there as well. But we'll see what happens with them. And with that loss, they fall to 1-5 on the year, while Mesquite improves to 3-3.
All right, let's break down the matchup between the Desert Sunrise Golden Hawks and the Arcadia Titans. This match finished with the final score of 0-62. The Desert Sunrise Golden Hawks dropped to 0-5 on the year, while Arcadia remains flawless at 6-0. This was one of the 3 60-point games that happened on our scoreboard. Was that something that you anticipated out of the Titans as they played the Golden Hawks, or did you think that the Golden Hawks had a little bit more of a fighting chance in this one?
I thought that the Golden Hawks were going to have a little bit more of a fighting chance, just being that they got some of their transfers to be able to play in this matchup. But to me, it just ultimately shows just how good Arcadia is this year. And, you know, I know that in that 4A Desert Sky region, you got Arizona College Prep, you got Vista Grande, who are all biting at their heels of the Titans. But right now, that is the team to beat here in that 4A region. And it goes to show just how much of a gap there is between a team like Desert Sunrise and a team like Arcadia. Unfortunately, we don't have any kind of stats to dictate what happened throughout the course of the game. But if I'm in that 4A Desert Sky region and I'm playing to possibly win that region, you got to look out for the Titans going forward.
Yeah, Arcadia has definitely come a long way since the last time we've seen them. I don't know if you remember, but the last time we saw them actually play live in person was when they were in the playoffs against Casa Grande to defeat them and move on into the playoffs.
Yep.
The Titans are now one of these teams that have that experience of those younger players that have grown into this system and have just perfected it. Looking forward to the end of the season, I'm not going to be surprised if we see the Titans knock off a few teams that we're familiar with in the 4A playoffs.
Absolutely.
Speaking of 4A playoffs, a match that has major playoff implications on it was a game that kind of went against our initial predictions. The Vista Grande Spartans lost to the Arizona College Prep Knights 6-22, dropping their record to 5-1 on the season, while Arizona College Prep improves to 4-2. Thoughts?
It was a big loss for Vista Grande. You know, a lot of people in that community were hoping that they could pull off this victory to kind of make a statement, not only in the 4A Desert Sky, but also in the 4A region itself. And if you look at the breakdown of the box score, all of AZ College Prep scoring happened in the first half, while Vista Grande didn't score until the fourth quarter. And although we do not have any stats for Vista Grande, it was just a tough matchup to definitely drop, especially when they're a team who's kind of teetering on that 4A standings. The AIA just released the 4A through 6A rankings. And so they're a team that's kind of teetering right there. And I know that this would have definitely helped their strength of schedule and possibly bumped them up. But now they might be a team that's right there on the edge that may need to get a little bit of help if they plan on making it to the playoffs. Because I think that Vista Grande is a playoff team. You have to beat those teams that are in your wheelhouse. And they just unfortunately fell short this week.
One thing that I'm really curious to find out is if Fernando Moya actually even played in this game, because we had talked about it in the previous game that he was walking off the field in crutches with his leg heavily taped and wrapped. So it's definitely going to be a big factor into playing to why they lost this game, but I'm pretty sure that you have plenty of other questions.
Yeah, I definitely do. You know, I had been hearing it from those players for quite a few weeks now about them being the real deal. And for me, it's kind of like a surprise to not get that when it's time to deliver. I know they cracked a joke about me, just a few weeks ago. So I'm going to kind of keep that receipt and cash it in right now and just ask them,
"Hey, what happened?"
Because that is exactly what I thought when I saw this score. Is like, what happened? You know, what was it about Arizona College Prep that shut them down for three quarters? And, you know, for me to see a score in the fourth quarter, it was more so, did AZ College Prep let off the gas and give up a late touchdown? I don't know.
No!
It was not the game that you wanted if you were Vista Grande. This was something that you were hoping to go into and come out victorious. Now this is a setback for them. They're not a team that's going to be flawless at 6-0 and have the best start in school history. It is still the best start in school history. Now they just got to adapt to this loss and figure out which options they can plug and play in place of a Fernando Moya if he's injured, or any other players that might have gone down, because without these stats, it's really difficult to find out what exactly happened And even a week later, we're still in question of what led to Arizona College Prep holding them down for three whole quarters.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this next week they're going to be able to bounce back and kind of have an easier opponent this week. But I don't really like those type of things because I don't know if it's preparing them enough to play these playoff caliber teams. But we will see, because as we always say, you still got to play the game on Friday. Just right now on paper, I thought Vista Grande was going to be able to sneak this one out. I knew it was going to be a tough matchup, but we'll definitely keep our eyes on the Spartans this Friday.
Now, in saying that, let's keep an eye on where the Spartans are in the 4A division rankings. Looking at the numbers, the Spartans come up at 14 as their opponents, Arizona College Prep, sits at 7. We spoke on the Arcadia Titans. They are sitting at number 5 right now. And looking at other Pinal County teams, on the outside looking in is Poston Butte just sitting at 18, Apache Junction at 38, Combs at 45, and the Desert Sunrise Golden Hawks sitting at 48. Is there anything that stands out to you other than having Desert Sunrise in the 40s still and not in the 50s? Is that a testament to the strength of schedule?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, just for Desert Sunrise to kind of put up some points against these tougher opponents definitely does help their rankings. But going into the two teams that are going to be fighting for a playoff spot this year, Vista Grande and Poston Butte, 14 and 18, like you said, if they Vista Grande was able to pick up that victory against AZ College Prep, that would have easily put them probably in the top 10, sitting at 6-0. And then if you look at Poston Butte, Eastmark is currently at number 8. They could have been one of those teams in the top 16 this week, but that's just how things go when it comes to the AIA rankings. Is it doesn't really matter what your record is sometimes. Sometimes it's the strength of schedule. I know there's been a lot of controversy out here in Southern Arizona, especially with teams like Buena, Ironwood Ridge, and Marana. Marana knocked off Buena 55-0, but only have a couple wins on the season, while that was Buena's first loss, and they have Buena ranked 8th, while Marana sits, I believe, in the 20s somewhere. So that's why it's so important to try to beat these playoff caliber teams in order to help yourself, because you know those teams are going to win later on in the season and they're only going to keep bumping you up.
You said it best. It matters about playing those playoff teams. A lot of people might not want to hear this, but it's not how well you play, it's who you play.
Well, let's move on into our only 5A matchup of the week, which was the Casa Grande Cougars taking on the Desert View Jaguars. And we saw Casa Grande drop their game last week to Micah Mountain, but they came back with a vengeance here in this region matchup, beating the Jaguars 50-6 on Friday.
Yeah, and they did this with Leland Sevedia on the sidelines. So this is a big win for Casa Grande that shows just how far they can go even with an injury to a key player such as Leland. And for their defense to keep the Jaguars at only 6 points, that shows that they were able to hold their own. And I'm really curious to see what those transfers were able to bring to this game as they're fully active and able to go in and out of these games.
Well, before we get to some of those names, you still have to applaud Elterna Gann throwing for 276 yards and 4 touchdowns. So that air attack is back to where it was just a few weeks prior. But then they also picked up 160 yards on the ground, led by Kendall Cade, who rushed for 2 rushing touchdowns.
8K always open.
And I just like the fact that not only did he have 2 rushing touchdowns, he had also 2 receiving touchdowns to go along with 101 yards receiving. But if you look at it, Fatty is definitely spreading the ball around to all of his receivers and his tight ends, and it's going to help him later on in the season, especially as they prepare to fight for a playoff spot, where if he has that chemistry with his receivers, this is going to be a tough offense to stop. But you were talking about that defense. They racked up 4 sacks and 2 interceptions on the night. So causing some troubles for the Jaguars offense there. And it's something to you got to applaud Coach Luna and his staff to forget about what happened last week, put your mind on the next opponent, and they went out and took care of business and won decisively.
Yeah, I'm wondering to see what this game has done for the confidence of the Cougars, especially as we get ready to go into Al Van Hazel Stadium this Friday.
Well, being that that was our only matchup in the 5A division, let's take a look at the first standings from the AIA, as you have Casa Grande currently sitting at 13, while Maricopa is at 33. How do you feel about seeing both of our Pinal County teams where they currently rank? And are you a little bit surprised on those type of rankings?
Not necessarily. To see Casa Grande in the playoff picture just on the outside looking in, it would make sense. One thing that kind of really surprises me is seeing teams like Buena and Ironwood Ridge ahead of Casa Grande when, and again, it's solely my opinion, I feel like they haven't played the teams up to par that Casa Grande has played. When you look at their losses alone, it paints a picture of how tough their schedule really is. Their first loss of the season coming from Corona del Sol, and then their most recent loss coming from Mica Mountain. Two teams that are definitely on the come up and hungry for that state title. For them to be just at 13, I think they could be doing a whole lot better. Top 10, if anything, it would be a blessing for them to see home field advantage throughout the playoffs. But if I'm Coach Luna and the Cougars, I'm just worried about getting to the dance itself.
Oh, most definitely. I think you hit it right on the head. Ironwood Ridge, a team who, to me, has played absolutely nobody this year. And they're not going to have a tough remainder of their schedule being in that 5A South region that includes teams like Flowing Wells, Mountain View, Maricopa. Not saying that those teams aren't good, but at the same time, they're not teams that are going to help their strength of schedule moving forward. So I definitely could see Casa Grande, if they continue their winning ways, to possibly jump a few of those teams, and even teams like Raymond S. Kelly and possibly like a Sunrise Mountain, to maybe get into that top 10. And then at the end of the season, you got to circle that Buena game, with Buena currently ranked 8th. Casa Grande will get their chance to say why they deserve to be above a team like Buena.
And I think that they're going to put a mauling on the Colts. But let's move on into our final conference in the 3A. The Borgade Catholic Golden Eagles played the Florence Gophers. Well, if you look at the score, it doesn't look like they played at all, as Florence was the only team in Pinal County to put up 60 points as they defeated Borgade Catholic 63-0, improving their record to 6-1. While Borgade Catholic still remains winless. What do you think when you see this game? I mean, this was something that we automatically assumed was going to happen. But with them able to drop a whole 60-piece on the Borgade Catholic Golden Eagles, what does this show about the Florence Gophers?
I mean, it really doesn't allow you to see too much. Not taking away from them putting up 63 points. But at the same time, Borgade Catholic is just one of those lower tier teams that have just been getting blown out week in and week out. So I can't really sit there and say that I'm surprised, because I'm not. You know, if I were to have guessed it, I would have probably guessed somewhere in the 50s. You know, so for them to get a little bit higher than what I would have probably predicted, you know, that's saying something. But at the end of the day, to me, it's just another win for Florence. And they're going to continue to beat teams like that. You know, I have no questions about that. But I just want to see how it plays out for their strength of schedule and where they will be ranked the remainder of the season. If you look at the 3A Central, it's not very strong right now. You know, outside of Florence and maybe ALA Ironwood, everybody else is 500 or below. So I know Florence has to play a few of those opponents that are under 500, and is it going to hurt their rankings even though they're probably going to win the remainder of their games.
Yeah, that was something that we had discussed last week, looking at their ranking placement. And we had automatically assumed playing the teams, the ranks of Borgade Catholic and others like Chrisman, who's coming in, who's going to be at the bottom of the barrel because of them losing. But at the same time, they're not at the bottom of the barrel, or they're just making it below the surface. And I think even though Florence was able to give them a 50-piece plus a baker's dozen, it's not really going to help them move up in their standings when they're playing teams that can't even put up a score against them.
But at the end of the day, you just got to applaud what Florence has been doing and what Coach Hart continues to do with this program. I mean, Logan Stenson only had to attempt 3 passes, completing 2 of them for 63 yards and a touchdown. And then the rushing attack rushed for 222 yards, still without Josh Jackson in the backfield. But you had Malik Smith, 4 carries for 69 yards and 3 touchdowns. Kanan Neal added 29 yards with a touchdown. And Joseph Carroll, 63 yards with a touchdown. So they have a really good balanced rushing attack, which doesn't ask for a need in the passing attack. But I just hope later on when they face a team that can stop the run, will Logan Stenson be in sync with his receivers to help elevate that game? And like I said, I've seen it all year long from Florence. They're able to play into any type of adversity or, you know what, take advantage of the opponents that they're playing and get a statement win.
And if I'm Coach Hart, one thing that this balanced running attack shows me is that the depth is ultimately going to put the Gophers in a safe spot come the rest of the season if Josh Jackson is unable to fulfill his duties.
And you just got to feel for somebody like Josh, though. You know, senior year, he started off with a bang, and then, you know, unfortunately the knee injury has kind of been plaguing his season, and I'm hoping that he will be able to get back into the lineup, especially once playoffs roll around. I know if they add him back into the lineup, Florence is that much more dangerous.
Now let's talk about a team who is in desperate need of a turnaround. The Coolidge Bears head down to La Jolla Community to defeat the Lobos 48-14, improving their record to 3-4 on the season, while La Jolla remains winless at 0-6. Looking at this game, especially at the quarterback position for the Bears, seeing that Gavin Gunter was able to go 10-14 and throw for a touchdown shows a really good bounce back for a quarterback who has ultimately been struggling in the first 6 games of the season.
Yeah, and then to add 169 yards through the air, I think that's one of his best outputs of the season. To me, this was an overall great victory for Coolidge. I understand that they're playing a struggling 4A team in La Jolla, but how about Maurice Glass having one of his best games of the season with 73 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns to add along with it, and then Javonte Wall putting up 36 yards with an additional touchdown there. To me, this was a victory Coolidge needed to kind of keep themselves afloat. I don't know how much it's going to help their standings, you know, as well. It's just when it comes to them kind of salvaging this season, I know 2 of their losses were by a combined 8 points. And so it has to hurt, because if they would have had those 2 victories early on in the season, speaking of Benjamin Franklin and ALA Ironwood, Coolidge may be sitting right there in the contention for those top 16 spots. But unfortunately, you know, they weren't able to pull out those victories. And I think here on out, this is a team that may be able to go 500, or if not, can possibly have a winning record at the end of the year.
Yeah, in order for them to do that, they would have to win out. And hopefully with this game, it puts them in the type of mindset that will give them the momentum to push forward. But pushing forward is going to be really tough when you have to deal with injuries. We talked about in the past, Salim Sesma was injured in a previous game. And in this game, Alizar Acosta was injured and had to be carted off the field. Speaking to Eric Aguayo's father, he was out of this game. it's really tough to see the health of the Coolidge Bears be in a rut right now, especially when they are in desperate need of wins right now. But you got to look at the next man up mentality and see what these Bears of the future are able to bring to the table here and now.
I could definitely agree with that. But let's move on into our game of the week, which featured the Crisman Rattlers taking on the ALA Ironwood Warriors, where the Warriors came up victorious, winning 38-13 and improving their record to 4-3 on the year, while Crisman drops to 0-7. First off, before we dive into this game, what were your thoughts of the environment at ALA Ironwood as we got to see another homecoming that Friday night?
Well, bro, let me tell you, when I got there before you and Chris, and I was able to pull my card up. And that's the thing, too. There were so many helpful people. The student body of ALA Ironwood was completely helpful as far as, you know, guiding me through moving some of these barricades that were to help keep the band in a certain area, and even asking if I needed help to carry equipment up. And just seeing that in itself, before we were even shown where we were going to get to broadcast the game, it brought a sense of joy, you know, just to myself, where I was like, man, this is exactly what we come to places for. This is the type of environment that we're looking for, is that happiness. And we saw a sign there that they had made for us, welcoming us to be there and broadcast the game. And ultimately, it was just an overwhelming feel of joy. And I just remember when you guys got there, I just felt like a little kid. I was like, you guys got to see where we're posted up at. We're in air conditioning. We got a big window. And it was a really good feel. And especially for me, being able to be on the field and provide the second camera view while in the booth, you were able to share the headsets with your brother for the very first time. How did that feel to share that experience with not only your family, but to have everybody in your family hear you and your brother call an Arizona high school football game?
Oh, you know, it was a surreal moment. Oh, you know, first off, I got to thank you for allowing that to happen and, you know, giving him the opportunity to see what it actually takes to call a game. Because if you are anybody who might be interested in what we do, doesn't come easy. You have to get over that fear and get comfortable about not only hearing your voice, but how you're going to interact and entertain the viewers that kind of come in. So at first, I know he was a little nervous and he had to shake off that fear. But once he got going, man, it was really enjoyable. And I think that, you know, somebody like my dad, who was able to hear both of us on the mics, you know, it had to be a proud dad moment for him. And I hope that he continues to want to sit in with us on the broadcast, because, you know, sometimes we're able to do two or even three people at one time. So definitely really enjoyable. And overall, I mean, I cannot thank the ALA Ironwood community, the staff that was there today, you know, even Mr. and Mrs. Molt, who just made us feel at home. Like, you know, we always talk about going back to Coolidge and that type of feel, like coming back home. You know, there were places this year that I could sit there and be like, you know what, this felt like home for me. And ALA Ironwood definitely ranks up at one of the top spots when it comes to how much I felt we were loved and how much people enjoyed what we did.
No doubt. But let's talk about what happened inside the game. I touched on it earlier. The Warriors were able to strike first in the first quarter and go up 7-0 on the Rattlers, but the Rattlers didn't make it easy. They were able to keep this competitive all the way up into the second quarter, where unfortunately the ALA Ironwood Warriors were able to find their footing and just put that pedal down to the floor and not look into the rearview mirror.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really impressed with both teams, especially not knowing what Crisman was really about coming into this. Other than what scores we've seen throughout Max Preps up to that point in the season. And there was a point where it was a 21-7 ball game by the end of the third quarter. So, like you said, Crisman wasn't making it easy for ALA Ironwood. And I got to applaud them. And, you know, and somebody like Diesel Robinson, who was able to be a factor when it came to finding his receivers. I know some of them kind of got away from him, or he wasn't able to connect all the time with his receivers, but it's definitely a building block for the Rattlers, when not only for the remainder of the season, but going into next year as well, as that's a fairly young team who currently has no seniors in that program. But you got to give it up to ALA Ironwood. I mean, Aiden Williams on the ground rushed for 198 yards and 2 touchdowns, and that's why he is the top guy, I believe, in the 3A division when it comes to rushing. ALA Ironwood definitely depends on him to kind of get their offense going, and then it allows somebody like Jet Brewster to be impactful through the air, as he only attempted 7 passes, but got 77 yards and 1 touchdown. And then Gabe Cantor was able to come in later on in the game and get a touchdown himself. But on the flip side, how about somebody like Marcus Dorsey? The kid is all over the field, sitting back there. I believe he plays safety, if I'm not mistaken, or cornerback. But he is all over the field for the Warriors, and I was really impressed with what he was doing. And then one other kid I got to mention, he's the big dog, the nose tackle for that Warriors defense, and that's Caleb Wheaton. He makes it so tough for anybody to run on that Warriors defense, and it makes sense as to why a lot of teams struggled this year to put up points against the Warriors.
Yeah, that ALA front four is not something to play with. It was definitely an eye-opener to see them in person, especially when we were curious to see what happened to the Coolidge Bears when they were shut down in the game against ALA Ironwood. And then after seeing what the Warriors were capable of doing, especially to a team like the Rattlers, it left no question to why this defense is pretty much unstoppable when it comes to getting the run across.
All I know is it's going to be a major showdown at the end of the season between them and the Florence Gophers, and that may be a big deciding factor on where those teams end up ranking-wise at the end of the season. But let's go over those rankings currently. As right now, you have the Florence Gophers sitting at number 6, while ALA Ironwood is at 18, and Coolidge is still kind of sticking around there at 22. And then you have Santan Foothills at 28. Even in that 3A Central, you have the Chrisman Rattlers at 33. As you look at the top 16, or even, you know, the top 25, is there any surprises there for you when it comes to this 3A division?
One of the surprises to me has definitely got to be Tempe, a team that a year ago struggled to even stay within the 30s of the 3A division rankings, has definitely turned things around, as they sit just a seat ahead of Coolidge at the 21 spot. Then you look at teams like Dysart, a team that was able to defeat the Santan Foothills Sabercats not too long ago. You look at teams like Safford, still in the mix, on the bottom half of the playoff picture, but nonetheless in the picture itself. What are some teams in there that you feel should be higher or lower than where they are?
Well, first off, I got to applaud the 3A South. I mean, I think they're going to get everybody possibly in the playoffs just from that region alone. And it just shows how tough that 3A South really is. One of the ones that kind of surprised me was the Push Ridge ranking. I know that they had dropped that matchup against Sabino. It makes sense as to why they're sitting at 7 compared to Florence sitting at 6. And that's because Florence lost to the number 2 team in 3A right now, which is Valley Christian. But as I look at it, there's nothing really surprising. River Valley is always a team up north that is a big surprise, because you always question, are they the real deal, or are they a team that plays an easier schedule but gets a little bit more love from the AIA? So for them to currently be sitting at 9, the AIA got to be seeing something in their schedule that has them up that high, because although Thatcher is a team that has kind of underperformed this year, they're still playing a lot more better competition than a team like River Valley. But either way it goes, it's a good update to the rankings this week. And I'm excited to see where the AIA will have these teams going forward into next week and where they all will sit at the end of the season.
Yeah, we definitely have a couple more weeks to wait until we see what the playoff picture will exactly look like. But let's move on into our rapid fire segment. Let's talk about these upcoming eight matchups that we have on the schedule this week. Now, we also have four teams on bye this week. That is the Apache Junction Prospectors, the ALA Ironwood Warriors, the Combs Coyotes, and the Florence Gophers. Now, let's go into the games that we have coming up this week. All right, so the first game on our Friday night football schedule is a home game for the Desert Sunrise Golden Hawks as they welcome the Eastmark Firebirds. Eastmark is 4-2, while Desert Sunrise is still winless, 0-6. Who do you got?
I mean, it sucks that Desert Sunrise has to go back-to-back between the teams like Arcadia and Eastmark. I definitely got to go with Eastmark on this one. You know, I just hope Desert Sunrise is able to put some points on the board. But if not, I don't know what the score will be at the end of this one.
All right, and my pick is going to be the exact same. I got to go with the Eastmark Firebirds as well. Moving on, let's talk about a couple of teams who are currently winless in the 2A conference. The ALA Anthem South Titans, who sit at 0-7, welcome the San Carlos Braves, who are now 0-6. We've said this before, somebody's O has got to go. Which one of these two struggling teams pulls out the victory in your eyes?
Well, this will be a first where somebody's O has got to go, and they're going to pick up a win. You know, usually it comes in the loss column, but man, this is going to be a tough one, man. You know, I can go either way with this matchup here, as these are two teams who are pretty much identical. They have both been struggling all year, trying to make their games competitive throughout. But you know what? I'm going to go with the Pinal County team, and I'm hoping that ALA Anthem South is able to pick up that first victory, not only for the season, but the first victory in school history.
Come on, Titans. Pull it together. You guys got this. I'm going with the Titans, too. Moving on into the 5A, the Maricopa Rams will welcome the Nogales Apaches to a game in Maricopa, where Maricopa currently sits at 2-3, and Nogales is winless, 0-5. Who you got?
You know, after dropping their last two games, I know Maricopa is hungry to get back into that win column. A very great opponent to make that happen. So I'm going to go with the Rams to pick up their third win of the season. How about yourself?
You know me, I'm a Rams fan in the NFL. I got to keep my horns up here with Maricopa, and I have no doubt that they do not fear the spear. Going into our only Pinal County clash, the Santan Foothill Sabercats welcome the Coolidge Bears. Coolidge is 3-4, while Santan is 1-5. Who do you got?
Well, coming into this matchup, I thought it, at the beginning of the season, it was going to be the clashing of the Titans here. But being that Santan Foothills has been very injury-plagued this year, and how good Coolidge's offense is finally starting to get a little bit of rhythm, not only on the ground but through the air as well, I'm going to go with the Coolidge Bears on this one and see if they can try to keep their playoff hopes alive.
And while you take the Bears on this one, I'm going to play devil's advocate and go with the home team on this one and pick the Santan Foothills Sabercats to pull this one out. Now, a big matchup between two big teams. The Poston Butte Broncos will head to Snowflake to play the Lobos. Poston Butte sits at 3-3, while Snowflake is 3-2. Who you got?
Man, this is going to be a tough, tough matchup for Poston Butte. You know, I hope it's not a game like it was against Eastmark last week. I hope that run game gets going. But at the same time, I got to go with a team who was playing in the 4A state championship last year. So I got to go with the Lobos this week. How about you?
Okay. I see why you would go with the Lobos. And I feel like the confidence level is definitely on their side. But if I'm posting Butte, I'm not taking that three-hour trip just to lose. So I'm picking the Broncos to beat the Lobos in this next matchup. Moving on into the 4A, the Rincon University Rangers will welcome the Vista Grande Spartans. Vista Grande just suffered their first loss of the season and are now 5-1, while Rincon is 2-3. Who do you got?
I think this is a good bounce back game after Vista Grande suffered their first loss. I don't think it's going to be close this week. Vista Grande by a large margin.
Vista Grande, give us another 50 piece. All right, in our final matchup for the 2A conference, it's going to be a big one. The Santa Cruz Dust Devils will welcome the Santan Charter Roadrunners in what has huge implications for what the 2A playoff picture will look like. Who you got?
Oh, it's going to be the toughest matchup for Santa Cruz up to this point in the season. You know, their only loss came to the 3A Coolidge Bears. But I'm loving that offense from Coach Tommy Cortez, Nathan Harris, and those wide receivers out there in Eloy. So I'm going to go with the home team. I got Santa Cruz Valley picking up the victory and making it one step closer to possibly winning that 2A Salt region.
It's hard to not go with Santa Cruz. So Santa Cruz, you're going to pick up this one.
I'm going to give them a discount double check there.
All right, let's wrap this up with our final matchup, which is going to be our stop on the Grand Canyon Gridiron Road Tour. The Casa Grande Cougars will welcome the Cienega Bobcats to Al Van Hazel Stadium for a matchup that is going to be huge as far as the region play goes, but should be a very big, raucous crowd since it'll be our first time returning to Al Van Hazel Stadium in over a year, because the last time we were there, they played the Maricopa Rams and blew them out. Is this game going to be a little of the same or something different?
I'm not exactly too sure. You know, Cienega's been a really confusing team this year. I thought they were going to be a lot better than what their record shows at this point in the season. But to me, Casa Grande has still got things rolling. I know they had that hiccup against Micah Mountain, but I think that they're going to be ready to defend their home turf and be able to pick up a victory against the Bobcats. So I'm going to roll with Casa Grande on this one, and I think it's going to be by a couple touchdowns.
And I know this comes as no surprise to Chris Kidney, but I'm going to go with the Pinal County team in the Casa Grande Cougars.
All right. So before we wrap up this episode, you know, I got to ask you each and every week, give me your no doubter for this week.
My no doubter. And this is going to be totally different because this team has always been on the negative side of my no doubter. But my no doubter is going to be the ALA Anthem South Titans beating the San Carlos Braves. Who's your no doubter?
Well, that's a good one there. I definitely surprised me.
Gave me goosebumps picking them.
Yeah. For me, I mean, I could take the easy route in taking Eastmark, but I'm going to go a different route, as my no doubter is going to be the Maricopa Rams knocking off the Nogales Apaches this week.
Now, we got your picks previously. So going against those original picks, which one of these teams has the biggest opportunity to provide your upset?
Ooh, this one's going to be tough. You know, you got some teams that can possibly sneak some stuff out here. I am going to go with the San Carlos Braves knocking off ALA Anthem South.
All right.
How about yourself?
I'm going to say the Snowflake Lobos beating the Poston Butte Broncos. It's a tough game either way, and I feel like with that pick, I'm just kind of playing it safe. Well, now that we've gotten our picks out of the way, we got to touch on the schedule. Is there anything at all that you can think of that we need to discuss with the listeners right now that may be curious of what's to come in the weeks that are ahead?
Know next week we will not have a broadcast due to a change in the schedule. So don't be surprised if you don't see a game from us next week. But being that we have a little bit of an opening, maybe we might be able to pop out to a game. I know I have my son's birthday that weekend, so I know he's going to want to go and do something fun for his day. So I may just take that day to go hang out with him. But at the same time, it gives us an opportunity to go and check out another football team here in the Pinal County area. And then on top of that, you spoke about it last week. We got fundraising coming up at the end of the football season for the Leticia Cavazos Memorial Scholarship. And then stay tuned for some shirt orders. I know we got shirt orders coming in for that. And then on top of that, we got a little bit of a design, something different for our Varsity Breakdown shirt this year, as we wanted to take the focus away from us and kind of incorporate it a little bit more with all of our schools. So,
and you mean everyone?
Yes, all 14 teams. So going to be something that you guys stay on the lookout for. And, you know, as we always say, if you're interested in one of those shirts, it's only going to help out what we do and be able to provide us some funding to go and check you guys out, because that's ultimately what we do it for, is to be able to provide the best service for you guys and to be able to bring some awareness to Pinal County and the student athletes that play here. So other than that, that's really all I got. Do you got anything?
Not at all. I'm really looking forward to Friday night at Al Van Hazel Stadium and what's to come as this football season rounds out and we prepare for the playoffs.
Well, if that's all you have, brother, let's close it out.
Take it easy.